The following may contain language that is not suitable for all audiences. For the Low Fact Podcast. You know, I really wish I had a...
Right on cue.
Much better voice.
The bus coming by. I'm so sick of all the noise. We need a studio.
You know, the noise doesn't... Well, you know.
I want to apologize as well for last week for those people that are listening on the headphones. Because the ass with the rubbish truck, it was pretty fucking annoying listening to it. Editing it, so I imagine that people who were listening probably found it damn annoying too.
Got an earful of life in the big bad city?
Yeah, it's like bullshit, but whatever. Yeah. So, you know, did my best to try and remove the background noise, but sometimes you just can't.
Moving on. I have no thought of the week, do you?
No.
Well, let's just start talking about the stuff that was on our minds.
Okay. What was the thing that... No, there was something that you said, let's talk about that.
That's the rub. There's usually nothing on our minds.
Oh, I know what it was. It was the fact that people are always like, oh, we need to do this so that we can stop shit falling apart. We need to do this. We need to do that. We can't just let things like go to rot, go really bad. And I'm like, why not? You guys started this, so... Like, what's that about when people say we need to not let this happen?
Are you really of the position that we should just kind of let it fall apart?
Am I willing to live with the consequences, you mean? Or potentially be very negatively affected by shit falling apart?
I mean, that's the whole point of people sitting there saying, oh, we need to do something about it. But the funny thing is, it's usually the people that are benefiting from whatever it is. So when they say we need to do something about this, they're really just kind of... See, that's the way I look at the environmental lobby type folks.
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, people are talking about how they're really attuned with the natural way of things and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, they're like, we need to stop things from becoming too different. Because at the end, when things become too different... We might not exist. So really, it's just a cry. It's not a cry, but a warning maybe. Like, hey, if things get too different, it might be too bad for us.
But that's contradictory in itself to sit there and say, well, we need to change everything, right? We need to do things differently. But then at the same time, you're sitting there and saying, but we don't want too much to change.
Right. We want to still be...
So which is it?
Well, it makes perfect sense if you think about self-preservation, right? The people saying, oh, things are going downhill. And I believe they are too. But as I get older, I wonder if maybe things are any more different than they used to be. One thing that seems like a small difference is actually a big one. And that's the whole idea that I've been talking to you about, like the selfishness idea and people wanting other people to pay for them. Not literally pay, but also literally pay. Literally and figuratively pay for them. But as I thought about it today, Judeo-Christian philosophy is premised on the idea that somebody else paid for you.
It is.
Somebody else paid your marker.
Right.
And so when I think about that, I sit here and go, well, it's not really outside the realm of possibility that everybody sits there and thinks that someone should pay for them. If you're a Christian, the whole point of Christian philosophy is that the whole point of Christianity is that someone paid for you.
But then you're supposed to do something in response to that.
Okay, what is it I'm supposed to do?
Be a good Christian. And aspire to be like Jesus.
So you're supposed to pay for everybody else. pay it forward, in a sense.
Well, be love thy neighbor, be a good Christian, you know, look after people.
Right, pay it forward. Someone paid for you. Someone saved your bacon.
Right.
So now, you got to save other bacon. Am I hearing your take on it correctly?
I guess that's right, yeah. I just think it's really hard.
Well, yeah, it's really hard, but... But isn't it convenient if that's the case? If that is... Let's say that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us have missed the boat on that. Because I see... This is what I see. And I'm not excluding myself from this boat. I probably think that other people should... Well, let me back up. I see an overabundance of people thinking that you shouldn't mind being minorly inconvenienced by me. Or what I think is a minor inconvenience.
Right, whatever I want to do.
And the sad part of it is pretty much I think anybody's inconvenience is minor compared to mine, right?
You mean the person saying that?
Yeah, or me even. So it becomes this weird thing where everyone else has to be inconvenienced and I do not.
Right. I get to do what I want.
Or whatever. Because it's no big deal for you to, you know, take a couple of seconds out of your day, whatever it is.
Yeah, what's the big deal?
You know, give up a little bit of the billions of dollars that you've got. Give up a little bit of your time because I'm in a hurry. Whatever it is that I'm thinking is a minor inconvenience to someone else, that other person generally does not think that. And I will confess, I am more than willing to inconvenience other people. Actually, in fact, I kind of like it. But I do it as a tit-for-tat type of thing.
Right.
Whether rightly or wrongly, I try not to inconvenience anybody. That's kind of my life philosophy.
That's a good philosophy.
But if you inconvenience me, then I have no qualms about setting your life ablaze. Now, that's a bit of, you know, that's a bit much. But, you know, I think back to a saying that I like, and it's perfectly reasonable to kill a fly with a sledgehammer. So I am not the best person to talk to about measured responses. I tend not to have any. Which is probably not...
But in general, you're pretty patient with inconvenience. Like, I get severe... I turn into a total cunt when somebody else inconveniences me. And I'm like, I can't believe that person isn't, you know...
I'm okay with...
Aware of me.
I'm okay with inconvenience like there's traffic.
What about bad driving, though?
Again, generally I'm okay with it, but the only reason why I stop myself is because I know my own personal proclivity, which is to kill a fly with a sledgehammer,
mm-hmm.
when a piece of paper might do. So when it came, when God was handing out measured responses to stuff, I was asleep, and someone else took my measuredness.
So you think God always had a measured response?
No.
Have you read the Old Testament?
I don't necessarily think that, but I'm just saying that for my part, you don't want me somewhere to talk someone down from being whatever. Because my first initial gut reaction to anything is to escalate. That is not a good life philosophy.
I've only seen that a couple of times for me, though. And it was only when you were like pushed and pushed and pushed.
Well,
right.
A friend of mine once said, I've got a very deep trigger, a very delayed trigger.
Uh-huh.
But when it goes off, you better leave.
Exactly.
Because it's like a nuclear bomb going off.
See, whereas I think I have a very touchy trigger, but when push comes to shove, I don't really want to like escalate, like in a serious way, you know. But I think there's this general attitude from, and I noticed it with a lot of the younger kids, that they pretty much, it seems like a lot of them think that they can do whatever they like to other people and that there shouldn't be any consequences to that.
Well, that whole idea of consequences.
Like disrespectful.
That whole idea of, the whole idea of no consequences, I think, has just become so much more accepted. In years past, decades, eons even, the only people that had no consequences, or very few it seemed like, were the folks, you know, a little bit higher up in the food chain or the hierarchy. And now we haven't gotten rid of that. It's just now it's pretty much everyone thinks that they're kind of entitled. And so it leads to what I'm saying, you know, we can get by with a little bit of cheating. We can get by with a little bit of, like, you know, cunty behavior from relatively few people. But it's one of those weird things that it's not, you know, one other person does not equal one other person being, you know, having cunty behavior. It's if one other person behaves in a pretty bad way, for lack of a better term, it's thousands of people doing it, millions of people doing it, billions of people doing it. And, you know, I totally get it. You know, I totally get the people sitting there going, why does that person get away with X and I don't?
Yeah.
That's a very natural reaction to stuff. But if you look at all the moralistic teachings, it's all about don't do that. Don't feel that way.
Right. Which is,
so
it's very, like, that's what I was saying. It's really hard.
But I think those teachings are really designed to preserve the society. If one person...
So is it good then?
In a group of 100 people, if only one person acts like a total baby,
That's
okay. But if 10 people out of that 100 people start acting like a total baby, things become a little bit difficult. Well, just
that's
10. Just 10.
Well, that's 10%.
But just
in
10,
your example.
Right, but just 10. Just 10% of people acting like a baby really make things kind of tough.
Well, I think that's at least 10% now.
Well, because the other 90 people are sitting there going, what the hell?
But then they're not. But are people stepping up? I guess people sometimes step in when they see that behavior.
I suppose.
But it's kind of a weird thing. Like, remember this week we were driving around Santa Monica and we just saw a whole bunch of homeless dudes.
Homeless people. Not just dudes. Homeless people.
Homeless people drinking, shits off, just doing a whole lot of stuff that they shouldn't be doing. And as far as I can tell, the city of Santa Monica ain't doing shit.
Well.
So it's like, well, why not?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the whole, that is one of the arguments about the riot, the January 6th riot. These people saw that other people could do that stuff and nothing happened to them.
Right.
They do it and all of a sudden people are getting jail terms for
years and years.
And, you know, whatever it is that they're doing. So.
Well, a lot of people got locked up without any kind of hearings or anything, right? I mean, it was just.
Yeah, without going into any particulars, that's what I'm talking about. A small number of people can get away with it. Very small number. And I'm not here to say one's correct and one's wrong, or this is what you should do, or this is what you should do, because
you're not a big fan of the mob mentality, though, right?
No.
Because the mob mentality is, like, you know,
is retarded.
We're gonna like gang up on this person because they're not towing the line, or they're not doing stuff like we think they should be doing.
Well, anyone that's on board with being part of a mob really needs to kind of know.
What if you're on that?
In the front of your brain, not in the back, in the front of your brain, exactly. What if the mob's ganging up on you?
Right.
And for the most part,
people don't think about that.
Well, no, they do. They consciously or subconsciously don't go against the mob. They try their best not to run afoul.
Yeah.
But when a brainless blob is in charge, nobody's safe. If safe is what you're looking for.
Most people are looking for safe.
It's hard to say because, you know, most people basically pick somebody to copy and copy them.
I see that every day, like just in things like traffic. Right? Well, that's, like when you're like, oh, I'm going to go this good way. You turn around and like, you're like, what the hell? There's like four people behind me.
That's a survivalist, a survival instinct that has served our species well.
Or like a traffic detour where when I'm driving and like, I'm like, I don't know where I'm going. It's like five people following me. And I'm like, but I don't know where I'm going. But you're following me.
You're following somebody else, though.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, or if indeed there is an answer. You know, we keep on saying stuff about, you know, you can't go against reality. I'm like, well, yeah, you can. It's just you don't know for how long. You know, there are people talking about how you can't run up debt for very long. You're mortgaging the future of your children and grandchildren. Well, if I'm really young. Or if I don't have any children.
Yeah.
How much do I care? And even if I do, that's the real diabolical part of that. What if I do have children, grandchildren? Do I really care?
Because I'm going to be dead.
I mean, you know, Thomas Jefferson, founding father, talked on and on and on about being thrifty and not having debt and, you know, paying your bills and blah, 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 blah. He didn't give jack shit to his kid, his legitimate child.
Was he broke at the end, too?
He was in so much debt, they took over his house.
He was full of shit.
I think this person who ended up becoming a judge advocate general is a Jewish guy. He bought Monticello, and started refurbishing it to, you know, whatever.
For some reason, I was just thinking of, I think it was Coolio? He was at this concert in New Zealand. He was like, do what I say, don't do what I motherfucking do. And I'm like, dude, that makes no sense.
It makes total sense, right?
Because he was like, be good, you know, like he's basically like, I did all this shit wrong, don't do what I do, do this other stuff over here.
Well, that's the nice way. That's the...
Do what I do, no, do what I say, don't do what I do what I motherfucking do. That's why I remember him saying that at the concert, and I was like, what?
That's a way to put a positive spin on it. I'm trying to give you the benefit of my mistakes.
Right.
When in reality, everyone that sits there and says that, not everyone. Like there are people that do say that and mean it.
Right. He probably meant it.
I don't know. You don't know.
Yeah.
You're not his kid.
Yeah.
Because I saw a snippet of the Osborne thing. It was like a commercial for it. And he was trying to, Ozzy Osbourne, when he had his reality show,
mm-hmm.
He was trying to get his kids not to do drugs.
Right.
And he was like, don't do it. Look at me. Look, you don't want to end up like this.
Right.
And to most people, even his kids, like, I don't want to end up outrageously rich beyond any ability I've ever had.
And just be able to do whatever the hell I want to.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, you don't want to be in this state.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that for a large enough subset of the people that say that, when they say, do what I say, not what I do, it means you toe the line so that I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem right there, is that there's a lot of people running around like that. And at a certain point, I mean, if you're a young person, you're like, fuck you. Right? I see what you do.
I'm a middle-aged person, and I'm saying I've got that thought.
You know? It's like, why should I listen to anything you have to say? You're a hypocrite.
Not even that. I mean, I know your life is complete crap. But on the same token, I'm like, why should I make things easier for you?
Yeah.
Because I know, as good and decent and whatever as I can be and try to be, at heart, I really like to just, you know, mess junk up.
See, that's a hard one, man, because it's like, I feel like if you try to be a decent person and do the right thing, I have those thoughts where I'm like, where has that gotten me? You know, oh, maybe I sleep better at night?
Well,
maybe.
if you're doing things just for the reward, which a lot of us are, you know, the whole idea of a university level education was all sold as it's going to make your life better because you can make more money and blah 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 blah.
Yeah, also not true a lot of the time.
Well, only if that university level education is a university level education.
It has to be a useful degree to.
I don't even think that a lot of our things need to be degreed.
Mm.
I think the old professions are probably the only ones that really need a degree.
Yeah.
The three.
Law, medicine, and what's the third one?
Theology.
Huh.
There's an underlying similarity between all three of those areas of study.
Are you talking about the moral element?
The element of trying, the element of stabilizing and being better for the society.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fucking off the rails too.
Right? The theological folks look to your spiritual needs.
Mm-hmm.
The medical folks look after your physical health needs, your personal physical needs.
And the legal is the needs of society.
And the legal, yeah, the needs of society, which...
And the world, yeah, the, I guess day-to-day.
The legal brings structure to the society. Everything else, I don't really think you need a legal degree. I don't really think you need a higher level. I mean, to make things... more palatable, practical, you throw all in all those other areas of study.
What about the arts and humanities, though?
Do you really need to go to a university to learn those things? You can... I personally think that you can make vocational and trade schools for all those things.
Mm. What about pure learning, though?
Who is able to do that?
These days?
Any day.
Well, that's...
The sons and daughters of the people that pull the strings.
I like the idea of pure learning, though.
Sure.
You know, learning to think, learning to critically analyze, learning to whatever.
Okay.
Writing.
We need those people.
But you say we don't need a degree. You don't need to go to university for that.
Not if you're going to make university so accessible that everybody can go.
Yeah.
Everybody cannot be the best. And I'm not equating the two. I'm not saying you can't, if you don't go to university, you're not the best. I'm just saying in any field, in any endeavor, in any group, you can't all be the best.
Well, that's a lie that's been sold to people too.
It's a good lie.
But you can be the best.
Right, it's a good life.
Everybody can be the best.
It's sold to parents.
Yeah. You need to start your kid... You need to start doing shit with your kid at age 3 so that they can have all the stuff in life.
I mean... I remember one of our friends talking about how, you know, you need to read to your children and kids that haven't had that opportunity don't fare as well because they're not whatever... And our friend was talking about, my parents read to me all the time, and now I love to read, and blah, blah, blah. And,
right.
You know, and she wanted me to be on board with that. And I kind of, not I'll say burst her bubble, but just kind of was like a counter, or maybe an exception to her thing.
Uh-huh.
My parents never read to me.
Well, you're like an exception, though.
My parents did teach me how to read, like, other languages.
See, we always had, I was always read to, and I... was literate from a young age, and we always had books and things.
My parents never had, didn't have time to read to me. They were busy trying to make money.
Yeah. And yet you still learned how to read and do all that stuff.
Well, apparently I read at like 4 or 5 grade levels ahead of what I was supposed to when I was in elementary school.
Well, that doesn't make sense. I mean, I'm sure it's true, but I don't know.
Yes, I could be full of shit.
If you weren't read to, I don't understand.
I was provided with all the tools.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't...
So you don't need to read your kids, though.
No, but it depends on the kid, right?
Yeah.
My parents were like, you need to read. I'm like, okay.
If your kid's dumb as a box of hammers, then you can read to them and it's probably, you know.
Right, but if your kid's dumb as a box of hammers, you don't want to believe that my kid is
going to be president.
you don't want to believe that my kid can't be the best. If this whole idea of the president being that class of folks being the best and brightest,
yeah,
that ship sailed in my mind a few hundred years ago.
Yeah.
Because what we have now, and I think it's really Kennedy's fault, is this whole idea.
I have a book called The Best and the Brightest that's about him and his ilk.
Well, when I say it's Kennedy's fault, it's that the Kennedy-Nixon debate. Nixon apparently had a cold.
Looked terrible. And
looked terrible on TV.
Right.
Kennedy, who had his own slew of health problems.
Yep.
Was given some painkillers, and he was just like, oh, I feel great. And so,
he did the debate on the equivalent of propofol.
Something, yeah. And I did hear or read somewhere where if you ask someone who heard the debate, they thought Nixon won.
Mm-hmm.
But if you talk to someone who saw the debate,
they
said Kennedy won.
Because Nixon looked like sweaty and uncomfortable. And
he wasn't a good looking dude.
Yeah.
You know.
That's very interesting.
I mean, you can think all you want about Richard Nixon. He wasn't a dumbass.
No.
I think he gave up a spot at a prestigious East Coast university because he was from California. And when it was time for him to go to college, his dad died or something happened. You know, there was a family tragedy,
mm-hmm.
and he had to help support the family.
Right.
So instead of going away to college, he stayed very close by.
Right.
Nixon went to law school.
Yeah.
Do you know what law school Nixon went to?
I don't know. It was probably an Ivy League school.
It was not an Ivy League school.
Oh.
But he went to Duke.
Well, that's a pretty good school, right?
It's damn good law school.
Yeah.
You know, Nixon was in the Navy during World War II. He was in the Pacific. And apparently, because his family was not so well off, he sent just about all of his money back home.
Wow. So was he in combat?
Ah, couldn't tell you.
Yeah. I didn't really know much about Nixon.
But I know he was in the Pacific in the Navy.
Yeah.
And when I say it was his fault, we just switched a group of Yahoos for a different group of Yahoos. people that were in the political class, you know, up until 100 years ago, even 50 years, 60 years, well, 70 years ago, whatever the 60s is.
Yeah.
It's like what? If you were born in the 60s, yeah, you'd be like in your 70s now?
Mm. That sounds right. Yeah, that's about right. 70s or 80s, 70s.
60s. If you're born in the 60s, you'd be in your mid-60s.
Yeah.
Before that, the political class were, you know, the ne'er-do-well kids of people who did something when the monarchies were around, you know, were the kids of soldiers, really.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All the landed aristocracy in Europe that a lot of Americans my ties on, look to and be like, oh, they've got a king. Oh, they've got this. They were all just a bunch of people who didn't do anything for hundreds of years. You know?
Right.
Some guy hitched his wagon to the right group, got a bunch of land and power.
Yep.
Or
there was, before that, they were fighting each other.
Well, that's all they were doing. That's the whole point about the British.
It was a warrior class, right? I mean,
yeah. Well. Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
And pretty bloody.
Well, yeah. But that's exactly what it was. That's why in the British Army, because I'm rereading the Sharps, or re-listening to the Sharps novels, uh-huh. which I love. But the whole point of the aristocracy and the whole idea that the kids of these people would be the ones that should lead the masses, because their jobs, their profession during feudal times was to fight.
Right.
And they got rewarded for winning. And then, you know, years and years and years went by and...
Then there was no more fighting.
Well, years and years and years went by where people were just kind of like soaking up the fruits of somebody else's labor. And then, you know, that's a perishable skill.
Yeah. And now they're pretty useless.
But now we go, the people that become part of the political class are generally folks that would probably have become talent.
Well, if Dan Bongino is to be believed, he just is like, they're all just dumbasses.
He's not the the first or the only person I've ever heard that about.
Yeah.
I've
never heard anybody kind of say it quite as...
I hear that often. Once every few years, I hear about a new person talking about their time.
When he tells the stories, it's just like, oh my gosh.
Either in the political bureaucracy or in the political stuff, that, you know, these people seem pretty dumb.
Yeah.
And so, I tend to not look at pedigree or the... It's not even a shibboleth, really. It's like the...
It's not even a what?
A shibboleth, you know, from the Bible.
No.
You know, the evidence.
Yeah.
Right? Because you think if someone went to an Ivy League or a school that they should be...
Yeah. Ergo, they must be, like, intelligent.
But that's a throwback from you know, colonial days.
Yeah.
The only people that go there were people that... who were part of families that had enough money to educate their kids.
Right.
You know, say what you will about anybody. Stalin was one of those people. He had a high school education in Russia.
Right.
At a time when most of the Russian population were slaves.
Probably didn't even read.
That's what I mean. They were slaves.
Yeah.
They didn't have time for that.
Yeah.
His mom wanted to, apparently his mom wanted him to be a priest.
Oh, wow.
And instead he opted to be the czar.
Wow.
All the communist folks, none of them come from like
peasant stock. What they claim to be from.
I don't know if they claim anything. None of them.
Well, they claim to be for the people.
Well, I think they are for the people as long as the people can, you know, do what they want.
That's not for the people.
Well, it's not against the people. They're just using them.
That's not for the people.
And I guess that's the message of today. You know, figure out who's using you. And don't listen to somebody else telling you who's using you.
Yeah.
We're all being used. I'm okay with that. But because I have an economics background, I'm all for bargain for exchange. You want to use me? Fine. Make it worth my while.
Yeah.
Don't expect me to be Jesus. Because I'm about as far away from Jesus as you can get. I ain't paying for nobody.